There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I hope he plays. Obviously, you don't wish to see, you know, good and great players down, not in games. It only makes the game better. But no, I'm not reliant off of that matchup.
We're back. Live with more Rami Makhlouf on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
That's Bears quarterback Caleb Williams talking about this Sunday's matchup between him and potentially Jaden Daniels, who's listed as questionable. Practiced yesterday, went through some walkthroughs today, and I guess we'll find out tomorrow if he indeed will play. Joining me now on the Score Hotline, though, presented by Circus Sports Illinois. I watch this guy. I end every NFL Sunday watching this guy. Give me the highlights on NFL game day. Finally, you can also catch him on BattleBots, on the John Boy Media Network. He's a busy, busy man, and I'm a big fan. It is Chris Rose. Chris, how are you this afternoon, my friend?
Doing fine, thank you. How are you? You got a good one tomorrow.
Yeah, it's undeniably a better one if Jaden Daniels plays, right? Like, I don't think any of us should ignore this. One versus two. These are two guys that will be tied and compared for years to come.
Yeah, I mean, I'm surprised with how well Jaden Daniels has played, considering how much turnover they had with Washington's personnel. And, you know, there's a lot of credit that goes to Cliff Kingsbury as well. I mean, I think that year USC kind of away from the NFL has done him some good. They run the ball exceptionally well. You know, I mean, we've focused so much, and with good reason, on rookie quarterback that you kind of lost sight that the offensive line is playing very well. And when Brian Robinson's in there, like he will be tomorrow, they're in a real effective run offense. And so I'm super excited. I love it that the NFL, you know, started the flexing schedule several years ago, because, you know, they've given us the game that a lot of the country wants to see in that late window.
Mm-hmm. And I was talking earlier about, you know, this, we focus so much on Caleb Williams and the Bears offense. And when they do what they've done the last 3 weeks, a lot of people will point to it and go, yeah, but the competition, because they haven't faced the greatest defenses. Chris, you could kind of say that about some of the offenses that this Bears defense has faced. And I think Mariota or Jaden Daniels, obviously better with Jaden Daniels, but I think whichever guy is in there, this is probably the best offense that the Bears have faced so far this season in terms of how they've played to this point in the season.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yes. I mean, it's different with Daniels in there. Mariota played very well last week. I think it's a system that fits him exceptionally well. But I don't care about the whole, well, who have you played? I was just thinking about this today. There's not an elite team in the NFL. I mean, yep. The Chiefs are good, but there's not an elite team in there. Like, who's the best team in the NFC? I would say it's the Lions. But then, you know, like, San Francisco has got its struggles. you know, there's a couple teams in the NFC East that we thought were going to be pretty good, and they're just all right. Nobody in the NFC South wows me at all. You know, I like watching Tampa. I like watching Atlanta. They'll tussle again for the second time already this season tomorrow. But it's not like there's a team where you're like, yeah, they're great. Now, I do think that the Packers can end up being pretty good. They've got some issues they got to, you know, solve. But I don't look around the league and I'm like, man, there's three or four great teams. I think it's wide open, in my opinion.
You know, one of the problems, and we're talking with Chris Rose of the NFL Network and the John Boy Media Network, one of the problems for Bears fans in looking at this thing, as excited as we want to get, because this team is playing better football than we've seen in a long time, in your breakdown there, Chris, you name the Lions as potentially the best team in the NFC. You name the Packers as one that could be one of the best teams in the NFC if they figure some things out. And we saw the Vikings start the season at 5-0 before hitting a little two-game losing skid here. How good is this NFC North, and do you think it's we could see four teams come out of this division and make the playoffs, or is that wishful thinking for Bears fans and looking at this playoff picture shape up?
I think the tough thing to get four teams in is when they kind of start eating their own, if they will, right?
Right.
I mean, we haven't had that many divisional games yet. I think last week was the second of the 12 divisional games. So it's, you know, teams will probably start to separate themselves a little bit, I believe. Here's the thing I would say is that all four of these offenses can really play. And that is a huge change. In my entire life, the Bears have basically been the same. Doesn't matter who the architect of the franchise is, who the head coach is, or who the quarterback is. It's almost basically been running in defense. And if we do that well, we're going to be in a lot of games and we're going to win a lot of games and we'll take our shot in the playoffs. Now, they've had some fun teams, you know, during the Cutler era, they would air it out a little bit. But the draft pick of Caleb Williams will forever change the way we see Bears offense. Like, it's almost like, hey, welcome to the 21st century, gang. Like, we're here. Let's play some ball. So they're fun. I think they're very much in playoff contention this year. And I think it's a place where a lot of dudes are going to want to play football with Caleb for the foreseeable future.
You're making a lot of Bears fans very happy saying that here on 670 The Score. Chris Rose, you can catch him on the NFL Network and on the John Boy Media Network. You brought up a couple of teams that have been kind of disappointing in the NFC when you're going through the sort of picture of the conference right now, and they'll face off against each other in the Cowboys and the 49ers on Sunday Night Football. Is this a must-win for these two football teams heading into this one, given the struggles that they've had to this point?
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. I only think one good team is playing tomorrow night.
Really?
Why do we think the Dallas Cowboys are good? I think we get caught in this, well, they've got a star on the side of their helmet thing, so they must be good. I did not expect them, you know, they didn't address the running game at all in the offseason whatsoever. Brandon Cooks is a good receiver when he's on the field, but once again, he's not on the field. So, you know, do they really have a credible guy across the field right now from CeeDee Lamb? Dak is a good, solid quarterback, but he's not a guy that's going to raise the game of everybody around him. The defense has been a complete mess outside of week one, really, for the most part. And I think people expect them to be better because their name's the Dallas Cowboys. But if those guys were in different uniforms, if it was the same, you know, 45 guys that are lining up on Sunday, I don't think you think anything special. Now, with the Niners, they've obviously had a lot of injury issues. The Aiyuk thing, I think, is going to really, really decimate them. If they can get Christian McCaffrey back by week 10, which is what they're saying, and if he can remain healthy, then they're a Super Bowl contender. I still believe that. I think they don't care where they play and who they play come January, but as long as they're playing. And that, to me, that's the big thing.
See, I think with the Cowboys, and you're right, I think we do get caught up with the star on the side of the helmet and maybe give them a few extra points in our head when we're breaking things down. I think it's, for me, though, I think it's mostly Dak Prescott. I think if you have a franchise quarterback, that you're a team that's at least in playoff contention, and we can go from there. But it sounds like you don't see franchise quarterback in Dak Prescott.
No, I do see franchise quarterback, because what I mean by that is he's a guy that can make most of the plays. But to me, it's a little bit like, and I'm gonna mix sports here together.
Mm-hmm.
People think that because there's 30 major league teams out there that every team has to have an ace. Like, I don't think that. Just
right.
Because you're the best pitcher on a given team, that doesn't mean that you're an ace. It just means you're the best pitcher on whatever team. That's the same thing here, is that just because you're getting what we would call franchise money, that doesn't mean you're an elite quarterback. It just means that what were the Cowboys going to do if they didn't extend Dak? Let him walk, and then what were you going to do? Try and get somebody in free agency? That hardly ever works. Were you going to go trade for a quarterback? Go ask the Cleveland Browns or the Denver Broncos how that worked over the last several years. So you're going to go shoot your shot in the draft? Well, we know that half of the guys who get drafted in the first round QB-wise don't end up making it. So you've got a guy that is talented, and I like Dak a lot. I really do. But I'm not going to put him up there with Joe Burrow and Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson, because I'm just not going to do it.
No, that's a great analogy and a great point when you talk about the ace thing in terms of, and transposing that to quarterbacks and the way that we look at them. I think Bears fans maybe fall victim to that more than anybody, or at least have over the years, just because we've been so desperate for a franchise quarterback. And I think we might have done it with Justin Fields, who got traded to the Steelers this offseason, and he led them to a 4-2 record, but then he gets benched for Russell Wilson, and we kind of see what that offense can look like. Were you surprised that they made that move from Russell Wilson, from Justin Fields to Russell Wilson? And were you surprised by the results and how quickly they were able to sort of unlock that offense by making the change at QB?
Yeah, I was surprised on both accounts. First of all, the move off of Fields. The Steelers are one of those teams that are unsettled at that position heading into next year. They just are. So I thought that if they could get a full year out of Fields, they could see how he is around the building. Like, he's a good dude, right? I don't mm-hmm. think that anybody has qualms with that he can lead a locker room and things of that nature. But he is limited with some of the things that happen at the quarterback position. But if they gave him a full year, they could see how it works. Russell Wilson is like a year-to-year guy, I think, at this point of his career. He did play exceptionally well. I don't think the Steelers should be taking any victory laps after four quarters of football with him at the helm.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Because I think they were playing a team that is dysfunctional at this point.
Yeah.
And I want to see him against the Bengals. I want to see if he can go shot for shot against Joe Burrow. I want to see him against the Ravens. And we'll check out the rest of their schedule and see if they can do anything, or if they'll be like the Steelers of the last couple of years where they go 10-7 and they make the playoffs and they whimper out.
Talking with Chris Rose of the NFL Network and the John Boy Media Network here for a few more minutes. I did want to talk some World Series with you, but just a couple more situations, teams in the NFL I want to touch on quick. First, Tua coming back this week for the Dolphins. I know, Chris, when I'm watching the NFL and I see a guy have as many head injuries as a Tua Tagovailoa has had, my gut instinct is to go, man, maybe this guy should not be playing football anymore. But then I sort of check myself and I go, you're not a doctor, Rami. Like, people have, medical professionals have checked this dude out and have cleared him to play football. And I'm not counting on the NFL. I'm counting on, like, the independent doctors that are associated with this thing that clear a player before they can go and play. What's your take on Tua? Where do you land on this whole thing and whether or not he should be going out there and playing? Because it's a question he seems to constantly get every time he has one of these injuries.
Right. And it's been frightening. He's given us some of the most terrifying moments of the last few years, right? There was that Thursday night game, I believe, in Cincinnati. You know, we had him crumbling to the turf a couple years ago where he said it was a back injury or what have you. It's just, it's difficult to see. At the same time, I'm a firm believer that it would be wrong for me to tell him what to do and say, well, if it was me, well, it's not me. And right. It's not my situation and it's not my family. So just like I wouldn't want anybody telling me what to do that doesn't live inside of our four walls, I'm not going to sit here and judge Tua and say, oh, he's crazy for still playing. All I hope is that he's gotten the best information, which I feel confident that he has, that he has sat down with his family and had whatever discussions he needs to have. But I'm not going to sit here and scream at the top of my lungs, he's crazy, he's nuts, because that's just not fair. It is not fair of me, or in my opinion, of anybody else, to judge somebody. Just hope that he is as safe and healthy as possible. That's it.
All right, one more NFL question for you, and then I did want to touch on the World Series. Can the Jets be fixed, Chris? Because they go and they get Aaron Rodgers. Things did not work out with Robert Saleh. They fire him. They trade for Davante Adams. They still lose. Is that just a failing marriage that they're trying to rescue there in New York between Aaron Rodgers and the Jets?
No, I don't. As I just called them a somewhat dysfunctional a little earlier, but I also believe, based on their schedule, they can get back in this thing, right? Hmm. Now, I had the Patriots and the Jaguars in London last week, and I can tell you, the Patriots they're a mess. It's going to be several years before they're back, although I really like their quarterback, so I think they're good there. Then they take on the Texans on Thursday night, short week, Houston having to travel. They've been a little bit different since Nico Collins has been out of the lineup. They have to travel to Arizona. Cardinals have played, I think, some pretty decent football, but that's a winnable game. Then they host the Colts. Like, these aren't world-beating teams that they've got to – so they could get back to, you know, 5-5 rather quickly, it feels like. And then who knows? So I still think they're very much in contention. I do think that the Bills are far and away the best team in that division. I don't think they're a Super Bowl contender, the Jets, but I think that they're a playoff contender.
Fair enough. I can see that, especially when you lay out the schedule as you did. Talking with Chris Rose of the NFL Network, also the John Boy Media Network. I love what you guys do over there at John Boy and the way that you cover baseball, Chris. I saw the clip this morning from the guys at Talkin' Yanks watching the walk-off home run by Freddie Freeman last night in Game 1 of the World Series. And it was, I think, if any Cubs fans within the sound of my voice, it was the Rajay Davis Grand Slam. Although the Cubs had a chance, and they did obviously come back to win that game, but you could feel it with those guys and just their hearts sinking into their stomachs watching that. But what a game one, and what a moment for Freddie Freeman in that game to walk it off and walk it off right in front of his dad the way that he did.
Yeah, it was incredible. It really was. And there was so much that went on that was fascinating. The decision making, the fact that Aaron Boone puts in a guy who hadn't pitched in a major league game in 5 weeks to try and close it out and preserve a one run lead at the time. And it doesn't work. It backfires. And now you end up losing a game where your ace started and you had a huge advantage there, it felt like. I still think that this series circles back to Los Angeles. I think it's a 7-game series. I think that, you know, this is just the start of the decision making that is going to be a little head scratching and going to make for some fun discussion. I mean, I love every aspect of this sort of stuff. And you got several guys on each side that could have been in Freddie Freeman's shoes last night. Like, they are that talented. There's 6 to 8 Hall of Famers, in my opinion, that are playing in this series, and you don't get that every fall.
Yeah, I think a lot of people look at it and they go, "Ugh, it's the Yankees and the Dodgers." Like, these are two teams that are villains in a lot of people's minds, but at the same time, you just look at the talent out there on the field between these two teams. And if you're a baseball fan, Chris, you can't help but appreciate it. I could list off the names, but then we'd be out of time when you just talk about the superstars that are in this series. And I think it's going to, for as much as the big market thing might leave a bad taste in some people's mouths, I think a lot of eyes are going to be on this World Series with these two teams and the players that these two rosters boast.
Yeah, and what I would say, and listen, I come from small market Cleveland, who just got knocked out in the ALCS, and I understand people's complaints about, well, they spend, you know, 2.5 times what other teams are spending. I get all that. There are a lot of issues in baseball right now, and I'm leading the charge in that. But you can't have it both ways. Like, in recent years, teams in the National League that were the 1 and 2 seeds and received the bye didn't make it out of that bye, didn't make it out of that round. And so you had teams like the Dodgers and the Braves who were sitting out the NLCS the last few years because they couldn't advance. Well, now you've gotten two teams that, you know, were the 1 seeds heading into this thing and, or, you know, at least had the byes, and people are complaining about that. Like, I just think people should stop complaining and appreciate it for what we have. We have two great teams that haven't played in a World Series in 43 years. We had extra inning walk-off grand slam. Like, what do you want?
Yeah,
stop
really
complaining about the stuff that you can't control and start actually enjoying the moment for what it is.
Yeah, and I'm right there with you. Again, these are not two teams that I love, but I'm right there with you in just that. This is baseball that if you can't appreciate it, you just don't appreciate baseball. Can I ask you one thing that's not about the NFL or Major League Baseball real quick before I let you go, Chris? It's happened a few times where I'm watching a game, whether it's a Major League Baseball game or an NBA game, out at a bar with some buddies, and the game ends, and suddenly on my TV is Chris Rose and a bunch of dudes from John Boy And y'all are in a warehouse, and there's a wiffle ball flying around. There are people in costumes. There's dancing happening. I don't know what it is, but every time my initial reaction is, what is this? And then before long, I am very into it and cheering for things I do not understand. What am I watching, Chris Rose, late at night when that comes on my TV?
Yeah, usually that comes on, we have an agreement with Bally's, which I know is in flux, but
yes,
work with me here.
Okay.
And so what we do is we have these things called the warehouse games, and we have created this from scratch. So we play several different events. One of them's blitz ball. Think of it as wiffle ball, 2-on-2. We have a thing called floor ball. So it's like hockey without the ice. We do this thing called ball and play league, which is a combination of blitz ball and cricket. And it's a year-long event where we have different franchises, 8 different franchises made up of people from John Boy Media. And we bring in a couple people from the outside and we just have a ton of fun. And if you've ever wanted to create something from scratch, play with your buddies where it's equal parts, a lot of trash talking, but good competition at the end. We don't take ourselves too seriously. We broadcast games the way you would love to broadcast them, which means that there are some naughty words said in there. We, as I mentioned, we talk trash to the competitors from the broadcast booth. Like it's just a ton of fun. And we've actually got our last franchise event coming out at the beginning of November. You can join us in the chat. We air them live on YouTube, and then they're there forever. But you can be a part of our community. So just check out our Warehouse Games channel on our YouTube page. And it's amazing what it's turned into. It is so much fun. I can't tell you. I get to call all the events, and it is certifiably insane, but the best way possible.
I told you, I don't even know what I'm watching, but I'm into it.
Before a few minutes. Believe me. I love everything that we do with it, and it is amazing. And we broadcast it like it's a professional sport. Like the people behind the scenes do such an amazing job, and we have this incredible studio that has been set up through the warehouse to make it so that it feels like a big event, and it's just people enjoying themselves. It's great.
So find that on the John Boy Media YouTube channel. You can follow Chris on Twitter at Chris Rose. Of course, catch him on the NFL Network with NFL Game Day Final and across the network. Chris, really appreciate the time, man. Big fan of what you and the guys over there at John Boy are doing. Thanks a lot.
Always appreciate it. Thanks for the time, and enjoy the Bears and Commanders. That's going to be a blast.
Appreciate it, man. And he joins us on the Score Hotline presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Sean, I know we got to get to a break, but have you ever seen what I'm talking about with these warehouse games that they play?
Yeah, like the blitzball games and stuff they play. They're super fun, and Chris is announcing them and everything. They're hilarious.
It's great. It's a really, really good time. Go check it out if you haven't seen it yet. We'll hit a quick break on the other side. Kind of breaking news about this Bears-Commanders matchup, and also, what's the next step? What's the next step for Caleb Williams and the Bears? We'll talk about that next. I'm Rami Makhlouf. It's Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
What do you make of Caleb through the first segment here, and how does that stack up to what you thought you would get?
Yeah, I would just say improved, right? Or improving, right? So, you know, you can really see the improvement through the course of the weeks. And, you know, I always say it that every unit faces its difficulties every single week. It could be a pass rusher, could be scheme, could be certain players that threaten your unit, particular unit, offense, defense, or special teams. And I think he's learning that as we go. I think he's learned to really do a good job in the noise to work through those things. And also just basic operation of good quarterbacking. You can see that with the way he's executed the last few weeks.
We're back live with more Rami Makhlouf on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
And I'm with you for about another half hour, taking you right up to a special Bernstein, Harris, and Rahimi live from the UC as they get you ready for the Bulls home opener against Oklahoma City right here on 670 The Score and your Odyssey app. And before Chicago takes on Washington, tune in tomorrow from 12 to 3 for your local Ford Dealers pregame show right here on 670 The Score, presented by Aurelio's. Join Mully, Olin Krutz, Patrick Manley, as they'll get you set for the game. Then immediately following the game, Mully, Olin, and Manley will have instant reaction on the Great Clips post-game show, presented by Sony Pictures, Wonderverse Chicago, and Timber Tech Decking and Railing. All of it can be heard on The Score and on the Odyssey app. You heard Eberflus talking about the progression of Caleb Williams as a quarterback in this league, and it really has been something to watch, man. I referenced, I don't know if it was last week, a couple weeks ago, when I was on the air here on 670 The Score. They give me the mic once or twice a week these days, and I'm always appreciative of it. But about Caleb Williams sort of learning the science of playing quarterback at the NFL level. There's the art of playing quarterback, and I think a lot of that is sort of natural, and you either have it or you don't when you get to the NFL level, and then you can kind of sharpen it if you do have it once you get there. But I think the science of playing quarterback is something that Caleb Williams is really starting to figure out. He's kind of cracking the code of NFL defenses, and especially NFL blitzes, and has been very good at picking up blitzes, getting the ball out quick, and getting it successfully into the hands of receivers when they do that. Obviously, Caleb Williams and this Bears offense, not a finished product. Still a long ways to go before they are the high-powered offense that we wanted them, that we want them to be, that we want to see them be. Chris Rose, who just joined me from the NFL Network, he said it's eye-opening for Bears fans watching Caleb Williams. It's like your offense just moved into the 21st century. I heard Colin Cowherd say it's like they just got Wi-Fi. And talking about how this Bears offense looks with Caleb Williams. And it is, man. It is a big leap ahead of what we got used to seeing from this offense, but still a ways to go. And I want to know, what do you want to see next from Caleb Williams and this Bears offense? What's the next progression for them? You can jump in at 312-644-6767 if you want to give me a call or shoot me a text. I had Clay Harbor on earlier, CHN, Bears analyst, and he sort of hit the nail on the head, right? In my opinion, he hit the nail right on the head. But that's because it was my opinion, too. I just like it when people smarter than me, more well-versed than me, sort of validate my opinions. And I asked him what's the next thing, and he said they got to be better on third downs in the first quarter. And that's been a huge, huge problem for them. Just slow starts in general have been a big problem for this Bears team. They haven't been the first team to score points in a game yet this season. All six of their games, their opponents scored first. That's not something that you can keep doing, especially once we get to that back half of the schedule and expect to win football games. It's honestly shocking that they're 4-2 when they've fallen behind every game to this point. Even when the competition isn't great, when you put yourself behind the eight ball and you find yourself down every game, that will come back to bite you. And quite frankly, it maybe should have come back to bite them more than it has to this point. But the problem is deeper than that. It's not just the other team scoring first. It's that the Bears just don't score in the first quarter. They're scoreless in the first quarter of games, four out of the six games so far this season. And after giving up 26 first quarter points in their first four games, the Commanders have allowed only a field goal in the past three. So this is going to be something that is tested this week against Washington. Jaden Daniels or no Jaden Daniels, that's something that's going to be tested for this Bears offense against Washington. They've been very good in the first quarter here the last 3 weeks. Only a field goal allowed. And as far as the third downs go, in those first quarters, and I think Clay touched on this, I think he gave this exact number, we both had it in the notes, they're 31st in the NFL in third down conversion rate in the first quarter. They're converting those at an 18.8% clip. That ain't going to cut it. That includes 1-for-4 on third and three or fewer. What? I don't understand that. I do not understand. I guess it does. It can come back to the offensive line and some of the struggles that they've had. And as for Caleb Williams individually, 6 of 12, 47 yards with a passer rating of 60.1 on third downs in the first quarter. They need to find a way to get off to faster and better starts than what they have to this point. Because it will come back to bite them. And I keep coming back to the point of these first nine games that they have and the opportunity that it presents itself, that it presents, I should say, for this Bears team and the unique position that they're in with having a rookie quarterback but wanting to contend, wanting to make some noise in the playoff picture or in the division. These first nine games really give you a chance to ramp up and work out some of the kinks, tweak some things that you're going to need to tweak to get this thing running at the level that you need to get it running at before you run into Green Bay week 11, which starts an eight-game stretch, six against your division opponents in the best division in the league, and then two against the 49ers and the Seahawks, who we have to assume are going to be in the playoff picture themselves come that time. So I'm looking for the Bears. They have three more weeks to sort of get this thing to where it needs to be if that second half is not going to be a collapse, is not going to be a downfall. Because I'll tell you right now, going against teams like the Packers, the Lions, the Vikings, the Niners, the Seahawks, you find yourself down in the first quarter, especially if you're down two scores in the first quarter. If you have a three and out and they're able to drive twice and put up 10 or 14 points, you might be cooked. The game might be over right there, because those are some not just real high-powered offenses in the NFC North with the Packers and the Vikings and the Lions and the way that they've been able to put up points. Those have been three pretty good defenses. No, three really good defenses. And trying to come back down from down two scores with a rookie quarterback and those teams knowing you kind of got to throw the ball, or at least you're going to be leaning towards throwing the ball, and they can pin their ears back and rush the quarterback with this offensive line, that's going to be a problem. They got to figure this stuff out now in this first half of the schedule so that it's not a complete collapse in the second half of the schedule. And again, the Commanders provide you an opportunity to try and figure it out. They've been very good in the first quarter, their last three games only allowing a field goal. So we'll see if the Bears can do it against a team that is pretty good at stopping it in terms of scoring early in the game. I'd like to see them get the first score in the game, but sometimes that can depend on who gets to kick off, et cetera, et cetera. Just score in the first quarter, man. Just score in the first quarter.
Be nice, right? I was reading an article actually from Nate Tice for the Iowa Sports, and he was kind of pointing out, he was going through film breakdowns, kind of showing like how Caleb was picking apart defenses. And I've been really impressed, because, I mean, like, the one thing I will say about Caleb, like, I mean, he's been fantastic, but, like, hasn't looked frazzled at all, like, seems to know what's coming a lot of the times, and obviously he's doing his homework, because he's changing plays. Like, there's been multiple times where the Bears are just going like empty set with no running back, and Caleb is just calling plays and, like, you know, up tempo movement. Now it's you know, he's limited in what he's actually calling, but, like, just been fun to see a guy go out there and actually, like, kind of figure out what a team is doing and then exploit it instead of just trying to run away from the blitzer they forgot to block.
It has been, and maybe some of this is, you know, I heard Olin Krutz on with Bernstein and Holmes. No, that's not a show anymore.
I think it's Spiegel and Holmes, right?
With Spiegel and Holmes, yes. That's right. It's Bernstein and Harris, who will be live at the United Center today. No, it's Spiegel and Holmes, excuse me. And they were talking with Olin Krutz, and he was talking about the first 15 controversy, that the Bears didn't do it in the first three games. Veterans spoke
right,
up,
right.
And then they did start doing it. And he called that first 15, he called it information gathering, in terms of throwing different looks, different motions at a defense and seeing how they react to it, and then sort of using that throughout the game to see what you can exploit, what might work, what might not. And it was really, I mean, I'd never heard it put that way before. And when he put it that way, it really clicked as to why teams do that. And maybe with Caleb Williams, and maybe some of these first quarter struggles are a product of, you know, a rookie being a rookie and him not necessarily having the answers to all the problems that a defense would give you in the first snap or the first few snaps of the game. Maybe he needs more time to sort of see a defense, needs more reps of seeing a defense to really figure out, okay, this is what they're giving me, this is what they're taking away, here is what I have to do when they do X, Y, and Z. So maybe that's just a process. But I think that some of this does does come back to coaching and having guys ready for the game so that you don't keep finding yourself behind the eight ball and having to come back from being down one or two scores because you simply cannot put points up in the first quarter. Four out of the six games, scoreless first quarters. And every game, their opponent scored first. That's not going to cut it. They got to figure that out. And a lot of that comes down to the third downs on those first quarter drives. So we will see if they can crack that code against Washington, who's been pretty good to open games here the last 3 weeks. We shall see when the Bears and the Commanders go at it tomorrow. Right after this, our predictions for that game. Also, an interesting hypothetical put out there for the Chicago Bears as the trade deadline approaches. I'll bring you that right after this. Rami Makhlouf on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I think the big thing, obviously, is starting faster. You know, keep putting an emphasis on that. And a lot of that is going to come down to opening drive, third down conversions. Knowing that if you can stay, you can convert on third downs, you can extend those opening drives, you can extend those first quarter drives and play a little bit more efficient at the beginning of games. But it's also not to say that if you play well throughout the course of the game, you know, have a chance to rebound from those things if it doesn't start perfectly. So, but that would be the biggest takeaway from the week off and looking back at some self-scout.
There's Bears offensive coordinator. Oh, there's Bears offensive coordinator Shane Waldron talking about needing better starts, faster starts. Again, they have not been the first team to score in all six of their games, and have not scored in the first quarter in four of those six games. That's one of these steps that this offense can take forward as they continue to progress with Caleb Williams at the helm. We'll have our predictions for that game, mine and Sean Sears, who's on the other side of the glass of this fine show, before we get out of here and make way for Bernstein, Harris, and Rahimi live from the United Center ahead of tonight's Bulls home opener against the Oklahoma City Thunder. They're coming up at 4. Bulls and Thunder tip off at 7 with pregame coverage right here on 670 The Score and your Odyssey app. I love trade speculation real quickly before we get into our predictions for this one. I love when people just throw stuff out there. You know what I mean? And that's all that this is. This isn't a report. This isn't Diana Rossini of The Athletic saying that the two sides have talked. This is just an article that they put up that's entitled Six Trades That Should Happen. Just that should happen, not that will happen, not that have been discussed. I want to be very clear about this because then people will accuse you of putting out fake news. This is not news. This is purely speculation, all right? But the first trade that Diana Rossini lists in the Athletic's Six Trades That Should Happen, she says, and pull over your car for just a sec if you're in your car. Just get on over to the shoulder. Because you might just drive your car right off the road when I say the first sentence in this article. Let's say the Bears acquire defensive end Myles Garrett. That's the first trade that they put out there in the six trades that should happen at The Athletic. And she goes on to say, sending the Browns 2 first-round picks and rookie defensive end Austin Booker. And that sentence just brought you back down to earth as far as what you'd have to give up to get a Myles Garrett. She goes on to say Chicago has long needed help on its defensive line, missing on Matthew Judon this offseason. Though in hindsight, last year's trade for Montez Sweat was a savvy move by Ryan Poles. There's no help better than Garrett, a one-man wrecking crew. And it was a second-round pick that they gave up for Montez Sweat last year. She talks about the financials, says per Spotrac, his cap hit is reasonable, $800,000 for this year, $19.5 million for next year, and $25.5 million in 26. And she says, though his nagging foot injuries are concerning, teams rarely get a chance to add the NFL's best defender in his prime. And, of course, Cleveland would need to be willing to part with a future Hall of Famer. That's obviously the other half of that thing. So, 2 first-round picks and Austin Booker in exchange for Montez Sweat, who you get for this year, and then the next 2 years, one for $19.5 million, one for $25.5 million in 2026. I love the idea of getting Myles Garrett. I love that idea. And him and Montez Sweat would be as good a bookend defensive ends, pass rushers, as anybody in this league. But my first thought, and I don't know I don't know, Sean, if it's your first thought or anybody out there listening on 670 The Score or the Odyssey app, is this feels a lot like Khalil Mack.
Ooh. Okay. I can get behind that a little bit.
Which, when they made the move, was great. I don't know.
I mean, immediately, right? Like, he killed the Packers for two quarters.
And when they made that trade, it was like Christmas morning for Bears fans. I remember waking up and I had like 100 messages on my phone. Everybody was losing. Danny Parkins was throwing a party. Like, everybody was losing their minds. And the results on the field for a year were real, real good. And then it was downhill from there. And then you look back in retrospect and the draft picks that they gave up for it and the cap ramifications and everything else. And really, that Khalil Mack trade and the fact that they couldn't capitalize on it, not because Khalil Mack wasn't good, but because they couldn't capitalize on it and put a good enough team around Khalil Mack, didn't make the complementary moves with Khalil Mack, that it did pay off for you, that you actually got the kind of success that you were looking for because it didn't play out that way. And then looking back on it and what you gave up to get him and what you paid him while he was here might have been the downfall of the Ryan Pace plan.
It definitely hamstrung them. They couldn't do anything after that point, right?
Exactly. Like, that's the thing, is how much it hamstrings you in terms of the draft picks that you're giving up and the money that it's going to cost you and how much of your cap that it's going to eat. But Diana Rossini actually addresses that. She says, I'll just start at the beginning of the paragraph. If this unfolds, the Bears would still hold the Panthers' 2025 second round pick, which is a good point, and that could be as good as number 33, and have $72 million in cap space next year. Two reasons why this wouldn't be a Khalil Mack-style gamble for Chicago. Garrett, 28, should remain one of the league's best for another 3 to 4 years, which fits into the Bears' Super Bowl window with Caleb Williams and Rome Odunze on rookie contracts. It all makes sense, but I feel now, not the cap space portion of it, and not the having the Panthers' second round pick, which could be the first pick in the second round there at number 33. You didn't have those things in your pocket when you made the Khalil Mack trade. But it's still, I don't know if I'm haunted by that or not. It still feels a little bit like that, but man, that cap space for the next 2 years, even with that trade, it kind of makes me say, yeah, go ahead and pull the trigger on that. Maybe a first and a second instead of two firsts, and I'd be more eager to jump on that. But again, if that second is the Panthers and that's number 33 in the draft, what's the big deal? What's the difference in terms of a first versus a second round pick? Definitely something I would entertain. I'm more looking for them to add offensive line than defensive line and pass rush, which I did not think I'd be saying to start this season, but if you can add a Myles Garrett to this defense, man, that's a game changer. That is the epitome. That's the definition of a game changer being added to what is already a top five defense to this point in the season. I'd entertain it. I'd think about it. I'm a little skittish in terms of what it does to your draft capital and maybe your salary cap down the line, but definitely something I would look into. And someone from the 815 points out, Khalil Mack didn't take two first rounders. No, it didn't. You didn't have to give up that much to get a Khalil Mack. But Myles Garrett is in his prime. He's 28 years old, and you're going to have him for the next 3 years. Definitely something to entertain. As far as the Bears and the Commanders on Sunday, I'm with Clay Harbor, who we had earlier in the show from CHSN. I got the Bears winning this thing, and that's with or without Jaden Daniels for the Commanders. I think the Bears win this game tomorrow with or without that guy. The margin is probably a little greater if you don't have Jaden Daniels on the other side of the line, but I think either way they win this football game. Sean, as my producer, you get to make the rules. Can I have a with Jaden Daniels and without Jaden Daniels prediction for this football game?
Is that allowed?
I'm going to say that the Bears, either way, they're going to put up 28 points tomorrow. With Jaden Daniels, it's a 28-24 nail biter. Without Jaden Daniels, it's a 28-17 Chicago Bears victory. And we're moving on to the next game with a 4-game win streak and Arizona and New England on the horizon. Dude, they could legitimately have a 6-game win streak lining up for them right now, and a 7-2 record heading into the back half of that schedule, starting with Green Bay in week 11. I know I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit here, but I look at these games and I think the Bears are the better football team. And I've thought that the last 2 weeks, and they've shown it and they've proved it definitively. They have moved out of the tier of bad by beating bad teams the way you're supposed to. They can move into another tier. They can move into yet another tier from like, okay, they might be good to, yeah, this team is pretty good. If they can beat Washington, stronger competition, better defense, better offense than what they've faced the last couple weeks, and I think they will be able to do it. I like a lot of the matchups in this one. Caleb Williams should be able to throw the ball. DeAndre Swift should be able to move the ball on the ground. It's a Bears victory. A little bit easier of a Bears victory without Jaden Daniels. But even with Jaden Daniels, Bears win. Sean, do you have a prediction?
27-20 Bears.
I like it. Our thanks to Clay Harbor of CHSN, their Bears analyst, for joining me, as well as Chris Rose from the NFL Network and the John Boy Media Network. If you missed either of those, you can check them out over at 670thescore.com or on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Sean Sears on the other side of the glass. Thanks to all you guys for your texts over on the text line. Coming up next, it's Bernstein, Harris, and Rahimi live from the United Center, taking you right up to the Bulls home opener against OKC. All that heard right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score and the Odyssey app. I'll be with you overnight, Sunday into Monday, after that Bears and Commanders game, and I will talk to you then. Thanks for listening.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.